The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, October the 23rd. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and once again I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
I'm very good, Dan. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Leaves are turning brown, Halloween's around the corner. Has your daughter been bringing back all sorts of Halloween paraphernalia yet?
Not yet, but I think there's some big Halloween party planned at her nursery, which we're supposed to be getting involved in, which I'm not looking forward to very much.
Is it fancy dress?
I believe that might have something to do with it, yes.
Excellent. I hope the parents have to get dressed up as well.
I think we probably do, but I think I'm trying to swerve it.
No. We need both pictorial evidence of this up on your Twitter feed.
Nah, that's not happening.
Damn it. Oh, well. Well, this week, not such a bad one for Reading since we last spoke. We talked just before the Charlton game. Obviously, we got the 1-0 win there. Went up to Rotherham. Not maybe the result we were after, just a 1-1 draw. But would you consider 4 points a good return for Reading in the last week?
Well, I'd say it's not too bad. Obviously, I would have liked six, but four's not... nothing to complain about. If they go to Fulham tomorrow and get a win there and finish this week with 7 points from nine, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining too much.
No. I mean, it's always difficult because you look at, obviously, Rotherham, a team who were second from bottom, just got a new manager. Those are sort of games, if you want to win the championship, you need to win. But then there's the other feeling that, is there such a thing as a bad point away from home, especially in October?
Yeah, and I tell you what, Reading had more problems in that game. Rotherham caused Reading more problems than I've seen a lot of teams this season cause them. Their second half up there, I've not seen like McShane and Hector struggle like that for a long time. So I just got to credit Rotherham. I thought they were very, very good. Obviously, you had the whole Neil Redfern first home game factor in it, and it stirred him up a bit. First half, Reading were the better side and, you know, scored a brilliant goal and deservedly led at a break. But they just kind of came out sloppy in the second half, gave away a stupid corner. Michael Hector, it didn't need to give the corner away. And it just sort of summed up the start they made to the second half, as did the goal from that resulting set piece when they left their centre-back, I think it was centre-back, completely alone, 8 yards out to volley on the equaliser. So it was just a sloppy start. And in truth, if it wasn't for Al Habsi, made a great save just after that when Rotherham went through 1-1, they could have found themselves behind. But after that, I thought, as the second half went on, Reading were looking the more likely. Vidra went close a couple of times, but they couldn't get the winner. But, you know, 1-1 on the way the game panned out, I thought it was a fair result.
Yeah, what was better for you, Nick Blackman's goal last night or Oliver Norwood's against Ipswich?
I would say Nick Blackman's goal. I thought
really?
Was brilliant. I thought Norwood's ball was brilliant. I thought Blackman's run, his touch was brilliant, and the shot was, you know, it was perfect. The whole move was just, everything about it was perfect. It was just a great, great goal. Norwood's goal against Ipswich was fantastic in terms of the spectacular and stuff. But it was a pretty much almost a dead ball. The ball was barely moving. He was given space and he just levered it. But everything about Blackman's goal, that, like I said, Norwood's pass and the way Blackman brought it down on the run and hit it on the half volley on the move was just spectacular. It was just a fantastic, fantastic goal.
One good bit of news to come out of the Rotherham draw, as well as a hearty point, and that goal was the return of Matty Vidra from injury as well. How did he get on? And I think he had about 25 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought he looked a little bit off the pace, as you'd expect. He hasn't played for a long time. But despite that, he still created enough space for himself. He had two chances. One was a very good save from Lee Camp to keep out. It was going a shot from the edge of the box, which was going in the bottom corner. And the second was a very nice sort of 25-yard strike from distance, which dipped just over the bar right in pretty much the last minute. And it was a great effort. And so I thought it was very encouraging, despite the fact he's clearly, you know, lacking a little bit of match sharpness and match fitness. He still did enough to create himself two very good opportunities. I thought he linked up well with the other forwards, and I'd certainly be starting him at Fulham on Saturday.
I was going to say, that was one good bit of injury news, but it's not been a particularly... Well, it's been a mixed week, really. A bad start to the week and a good end to the week.
Yeah.
Bring us up to date on how the treatment room's looking at the moment, heading up to Craven Cottage.
The bad news, obviously, we'll start with. And, you know, Stephen Quinn and Harolf and Kanu are set for an extended spell on the sidelines. When we all saw Howe's injury for Wales, kind of had a feeling at the time, just watching the replay, it was going to be a little bit of a nasty one that was going to keep him out for a while. I think Clark and Reading initially feared it might only be a couple of weeks, hoped it'd only be a couple of weeks, but it's proved more than that. He doesn't have to have an operation, but it's going to take quite a bit of time for what looks like ligaments to recover, the scar tissue to recover from that. It was a bit of one of those horrible ones when you just go over on your ankle and you know it's
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, and it looks worse than the slow motion replay, isn't it, when you see all the weight go down on that ankle. And Quinn, Quinn's a real blow for me. I think Redden are really going to miss him. He's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, hasn't he, since he's arrived. A lot of the new signings have sort of captured the headlines, but Quinn's just quietly gone around his business before, just before he got the injury as well. He had his best game in a Redden shirt at Bristol City, and I think he just brings a lot to the team, brings so much energy and quality, not just energy. He brings a lot of quality to the team. And it's a real blow, I think, missing him. And we're probably not going to see him again until January. So, like I said, that's really bad news and bad luck on him as well, because, as I said, he was just beginning to find his best form.
Yeah, a real spark plug for the team. And he could fill in different roles. We've seen him on the left. We've seen him in the middle, just behind strikers as well. Just such energy. He's got experience of winning promotion as well, which helps. But thankfully, I get the feeling he's someone that's going to be a good presence in the dressing room nonetheless. And the other nice thing, and as you've written an opinion piece this week in Get Reading, is that the squad now is big enough to absorb those type of injuries. And there is some good news on the injury front as well.
Yeah, definitely. If we just start on that, is it... That's what having a decent squad's about, isn't it? And there's been a fair few players who arrived who have not really had a look in yet, not really been given an opportunity, and they must be desperate for a start. And now they've got a chance to put their really sort of throw their hat in the ring. I'm looking at Ola John, who obviously started last weekend, didn't impress too much, but he's got an opportunity now, as is Hurtado, who we've barely seen any of. Piazon again, who's been getting more of a look in than the rest. All those sort of players have got a chance now. There's a spot on the left hand side which is kind of open. Obviously Vidra coming back, and you'd think if he's fit and fully firing, he probably will fill that spot. But it's just, that's what having a good squad's about. It's about staking your claim for a spot, and if the opportunity arises, and that's what these players have got to do. On the injury front, like you say, very good news with Anton Ferdinand all being sitting there quietly fearing, oh no, we're going to see him again this year. Is it going to be exactly what happened last season? But no, he's back out on the training pitch yesterday, joining in full training, and has a chance of being involved on Saturday. And if he's not involved on Saturday, you've got to think after that, when a full week of training, then certainly the weekend after, he'll be fit and ready. And that's a real bonus. We all saw how good he was at the start of the season alongside McShane. The only problem, obviously, is that Michael Hector's come in and found his form as well. So Anton's not going to walk straight back into the side, but very good news on the injury front to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't have too many positive selection headaches, can you? It pushes the other players in training. It gives Clark options. He can rest players. And on that note, the goalkeeping position, which a few weeks ago we were all fearing the worst when Jonathan Bond got injured. I know Habsy's very quietly put together a good run of form. I mean, you highlighted the save he made at Rotherham. Jonathan Bond has now returned to training as well. But does he get back in the team, Charles?
I don't think you can drop Habsy at the moment. I think he's been very good. I spoke to him yesterday, and I've got to say, I thought he was brilliant to talk to. I spoke to him when he signed, and I enjoyed speaking to him then, but I thought yesterday he was great. He was so honest and open. He was really fresh into here. He's up there with Danny Williams now for me in terms of players I really enjoy interviewing. I think he doesn't mess around. He doesn't talk in sound bites or anything like that. And he was really honest about the Everton game, his mistake, how he knew he should have done better, and how it sort of hurt him in the days following that. But then the Middlesbrough game came, obviously he got his chance because of injury, and he made that save from Stuart Downing's free kick, and Reading went on to win that match 2-0, and he sort of points to that save from Downing. He really thinks that's the sort of turning point of his career, and Reading career, and since then he's gone on 3 games, conceded 1 goal, got 7 points from 9, and he hasn't put a foot wrong. I thought again on Tuesday night against Rotherham he was excellent. He's commanding his box, he's claiming crosses, he's making the saves that we've all expect him to make, because he's always known as a shot stopper, isn't he? But he's been more than that in the last 3 games. I've been very impressed by him. And yeah, I think it'd be very, very harsh on him if Bond came straight back into the side now.
Yeah, the only other slight concern was that Aaron Tischbowler missed out on Tuesday's trip. Was that due to injury, or was it just Steve Clark giving him a rest?
No, it was due to injury, yeah. But Clark was hoping... I spoke to him before training yesterday. He was hoping that Tish might be involved in that session. He wasn't. He was kind of, I think, looking at 50-50. So I think Tish has got a chance for Saturday, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him left out. I hope not, because if he's fit, I'd actually play him in my selected starting 11 for that game. I think I'd sort of fill up the 3 midfield spots with Tish, Williams and Norwood, and let Vidra, Blackman and Saar do their business up front. But the way talking, I think out of everyone, if someone was going to miss out due to injury, I think Tish is probably just behind everyone else.
almost the forgotten signing of the summer, I think, has been Alex Fernandez. Has Clark talked at all about him? What have you made of Fernandez's situation? Because he's only managed a couple of very brief sub appearances. Obviously got that start against Everton, but we've really not seen a lot for a player who was playing pretty regular in La Liga.
The thing with Fernandez, I think, obviously there's this five loan player rule in the 18, and I think Fernandez is the one who tends to be the unlucky one that miss out if everyone, all the loan players are fit and available, because obviously Rennie got six, so someone has to miss out from that. And you think, you know, Hector's going to play at the moment. If Hector's starting, you probably have Taylor on the bench just because he's the only real sort of defensive cover if anyone goes, you know, a beater or anything like that happens. The Piazon's going to play or going to be involved. John probably going to be involved. So
and Vidra as well, yeah.
Yeah, Vidra's definitely going to be involved. So it's kind of Fernandez is the one to miss out, especially with the midfield options. If you're playing two, then two of the three out of Norwood, Tish and Williams, then one of those is going to be on the bench, isn't it? So you think that Fernandez is going to miss out. So he's been a bit unlucky, I think, Fernandez. But also when we've seen him play, I didn't think he was great against Everton. I thought he was taking some time to settle, but he seems to be enjoying himself nonetheless, to be honest. You see him on social media, you see him around the place, he's always got a smile on his face. So it doesn't seem like he's too upset at the moment about missing out.
You know how football's changed if you look at the Twitter accounts of the likes of Alex Fernandez and Lucas Pearson, because they're promoting the game and the start time and everything to fans across different time zones and things like that. It's very hard to imagine someone like Michael Jilks going on Twitter 20 years ago and telling everyone when
they're very good with all the sort of paint and everything like that on all these footballers. They've got a lot of time on their hands.
Absolutely.
Unless perhaps not actually them and it's someone in their team who
no.
does it for them. I wouldn't want to dare to suggest that that happens.
I've just got the image of Alex Fernandez sitting in front of Microsoft Paint, diligently creating this after training.
He's got some time on his hands. He never actually knows.
Very true. So this all builds up to that trip to Craven Cottage. It's an afternoon. It's a 1:30 kickoff, isn't it? As we spoke about last week, the World Cup semi-final of rugby, South Africa, New Zealand, kicking off at Twickenham, I think at 4. So the running game's been moved forward. Fulham, in the week, they drew 1-1 with Steve Evans's Leeds. I could probably do another podcast on our own on the situation at Leeds, but we'll leave it. So a point in that game. They don't come into the game in great form, Charles, but they're still a very dangerous side.
They are a dangerous side, but there's a bad atmosphere at Fulham at the moment. They got booed off on Wednesday night. Fans were calling for Kit Simons' head, so there's a real sort of negative atmosphere around the place at the moment. I think it's 5 without a win, possibly 6, one of the two, and the fact that Reading are taking 4,000 up there, or virtually 4,000 up there, on Saturday, I think if Reading can start this game well, they can use the atmosphere to just almost take the home advantage away from Fulham. They can turn the fans very quickly, and we've seen Reading start matches quickly so far this season. If they can do that again, get their noses in front early on, I wouldn't be surprised to see those Fulham fans turn fairly early. And Reading should be able to use that to their advantage. So I'm looking forward to this one. I thought last year's game at the Cottage was fantastic. I loved it. Apart from in the last minute when Fulham nicked it on there. It was almost like a cup match. And I still don't know how Reading lost that game. Gareth McCleary was electric. And so I'm really looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be a really, really good match. And I'm fully confident that Reading are going to come home with 3 points.
Okay, I was going to say then, prediction league-wise, all five of us, as there are now, we all predicted wins, and you know what happens when that happens. Reading generally don't get a win. So the standings were as they were. You're still tied at the top with Johnny. We've gone so far. I've gone for a 2-1 Fulham win. Johnny has said 2-1 to Reading. Handbag has gone for a 1-1, and I'm waiting to hear from Westy. So what say you?
3-1 Reading.
3-1 Reading.
Yes. Orlando Sarr score as well. He's going to get one on his return.
There's one for your gamble-aware scorecasts.
Yes.
But that just about wraps it up. So then we have a week off, and then just a small matter of Brighton.
I know what game that one's going to be.
Yeah, I keep
waiting. Unbeaten. I don't know what's going to happen to them this weekend.
I keep waiting for their bubble to burst, because you look at that team on paper and you think, well, it's not, you know, there's no great shakes, but they keep getting results. And going to places like Elland Road and picking up wins, it's typical that Bobby Zamora has now started scoring.
I know, I was going to say, you know your luck's in when Bobby Zamora is banging in last-minute goals. So, yeah, they're certainly riding the crest of the wave at the moment. But I keep expecting them to fall down. They haven't yet, so fair play to them. But I'm still not convinced they're going to be top two material by the time sort of Christmas and January rolls around. But who might say that? They may well surprise me. I was kind of expecting Bournemouth to fall away a little bit last year, and they didn't.
Absolutely, and I'm sure plenty of people looked at Reading's team in 2005, 2006, or even 11, 12, and said, oh, that side's not very good. It's only when you get halfway through the season you can really judge the strength of a side. So we'll see. Just before quickly I let you go, just your overall thought, if Reading don't win at Fulham, has it been a bad week?
Has it been a bad week? What, if they lose?
If they don't get a win.
Wouldn't say it's been a bad week. I don't think you can say going to Craven Cottage, and if you get a draw, I don't think you can say that's going to be a bad week. Five points out of nine. What is a bad week in a championship? It's such a crazy, crazy league that anyone can beat anyone. It sounds such a cliche, but everyone says it because it is actually true. And you just look at other results. And I mean, look at Middlesbrough. They were flying high, came to Reading, lost, and they haven't won since. I think they've gone three games without a win. And I still think they're the team to beat in this league. So it's just impossible to call the championship. It's very hard to say what's been a good week and what's been a bad week. But I think if Reading got a draw and finished with 5 points from nine, no, I wouldn't look at that as a bad week at all, especially because there's two away games in it. And, you know, the championship is so hard away from home to get results. So
yeah, I think as long as they avoid defeat, I think it's not been a terrible week. But I've still got that nagging feeling that if they do want to really keep up the momentum, that they need to get a win away from home at Fulham, especially with Brighton coming to town. Because if they were to draw and Brighton to win again, I think that would put the gap at, what, six points, would it be? 8 points, and already it's just a little bit of a little bit of a gap.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying, but I still wouldn't think it's an awful week. But yeah, I would certainly... If they can go at Fulham on Saturday and win, then that will round off definitely what's been a good week. But the Championship is such a crazy league, and the games come so thick and fast. So it's very difficult, like I said, to call. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, busy week coming up. What can we expect in Get Reading over the next 7 days?
I don't know what time this is going out, but reminder that a web chat will be on at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So come in and join the party and get your lunch breaker sorted early and sit down in front of your computer. And then, yeah, next week it'll be reacting the usual stuff, trying to keep people entertained.
Are you going to have any spooky features next week?
No.
No?
I think I will be avoiding the spooky features.
Come on.
I'm not really a Halloween man. I'm not a Halloween man. I've never been into it. I've got to say, I don't get it. And it seems to be growing each year over here. It's very, very American.
I do worry this year because Halloween is on a Saturday night.
I don't tend to get many trick-or-treaters around where we are, which is thankful.
I know, because old man Watts is there and he doesn't like Halloween.
I'll kind of throw things at them if they do turn up. So stay away from Maidenhead, my part of Maidenhead.
But there you go, people. You have been warned. Well, Charles, thank you very much indeed. Just a quick plug from ourselves. We mentioned on last week's show, we are up for a football blogging award. We've made it through to the finals. You've still got a couple of weeks to cast your votes. If you head over to thetarlhurstend.com, you can read about it. It will take you no more than 30 seconds from going to the website to voting for us, and it would mean a lot to all of the team here, not just myself. So if you do have the time and you haven't voted, please do take the time to do that. In the meantime, thank you very much for downloading. Charles, thanks very much for joining me as always. I'll hopefully catch up with you just before that Brighton game to catch up on all the latest news and injuries. But in the meantime, have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you very much. I noticed that you've let this go by without mentioning Bayern Munich. You were quite happy to mention Olympiakos a couple of weeks back.
And we're a championship podcast, Charles.
You've let this one just completely go by and not mention Bayern Munich once, I'm sure.
I can expect a fine from UEFA for disrespecting not mentioning the Champions League, I'm sure.
Yes, you should. Don't boo the anthem.
Oh dear, we could do a separate podcast on Leeds, UEFA, everything. No, congratulations, you've done it. I always thought Arsenal would pull it out when the result would matter, because you just always make it through the group stage. It's just, it's written almost in law.
Yeah, I still don't think we will, to be fair, but we'll see what happens. I still think we'll pay for that bad start, but Tuesday was good. I'll enjoy that one.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, there we go. At least someone had a good time on Tuesday night. Right, anyway, that does wrap us up, Charles. Thank you very much, Sid. Have a cracking weekend and a safe trip down to Craven Cottage tomorrow.
Yeah, you too. Speak to you next week.
Take care. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetarlhurstend
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.